Thank you, Scott. And did you enjoy our little acoustic band up here today? Weren't they great and just leading us in good, strong worship today? Love it, love it, love it. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you're having a great year already. You're in church the first Sunday of the year. Hope you're here every Sunday this year. Wouldn't that be great to be in church? Say, I was in church every Sunday this year. Wouldn't that be awesome? Let's see. How many of you stayed up to watch the new year come in? How many of you stayed up? How many of you were fast asleep when the new year came in? All right, there you go. We didn't get home from Busch Gardens till like 11:30, and so we stayed up the extra 30 minutes and watched the new year come in. Nothing says New Year's like riding roller coasters. Let me tell you, it's the best, and it was awesome. And they were all open. All the ones that were open. If that makes sense. But anyway, and that was fun and good. Always great to ride roller coasters on New Year's Eve. One quick thing. We are still having skating tonight at 5:30 at Skateland. Is that what it is? Skateland in Ashland. And so that's not just for kids, not just for teens. It's for everybody. It's for old church. It's a family skate night. It's for all of us. So I think the storm's supposed to come in a little bit later than that. So come on up tonight. If your insurance premium is paid, come on up tonight. And we'd love to have you up there. Even if you just want to come up and watch, eat hot dogs, and have a good time with everybody, that's fine as well. All the directions are, you know, like what you're supposed to bring are in the bulletin today. But that's going on tonight, and I hope to see you up there. It's going to be a lot of fun after the Redskins win this afternoon. So that would be good, too. All right, so it's a new year. Are you expecting an exciting 2025? I hope that you are. I'm excited for a new year. I can't wait to see what the Lord is going to do for our church. I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do in my life. I'm pretty excited. At the end of the year and at the beginning of the year, I always, you know, click on those articles, you know, read about the top 10 things that happened in 2024. So I read all those, you know, and caught up on the news. Top 10 things that are going to happen in 2025. So I always read all those. I did not know, and I try to kind of keep up with things, but I didn't know that we're getting ready to send somebody back to the moon. Did you, Angie, did you know that? I did not know that. We're going to send someone to the moon. The Apollo, when I was a kid, it was the Apollo project. Now it's the Artemis project. And they were hoping it was going to be in 25. I read a little bit more. It doesn't look like it'll be in 25, but I had no idea. We are getting ready to send folks back to the moon. It's been a long time. I'm excited that my adult children, my kids, my grandkids get to experience, you know, what it's like. I remember 1969, we were on vacation. I was just a little tiny dinky dude, and we were in the Smokies on vacation. We got up early in the morning to watch the grainy footage of Neil Armstrong hopping onto the moon, and I still remember that, and that was an exciting time. So within the next year or so, we're going to put three men and a woman on the moon, and I think that's exciting. The Commanders are going to the Super Bowl. That's exciting, right? There's no presidential election year this year. That's exciting. Can I get an amen? Yes, that's exciting. There you go. Last year at Fairmount was a very exciting year. We had over 40 baptisms here last year. We had three cross-cultural mission trips, and we'll have even more this year. We had a huge vacation Bible school, fall festival, you know, some of the big events that we do. Our church in Ashland is growing. It was an exciting year. Now, from the pulpit, every Sunday last year, it was the year of Jesus. You remember that? Do you remember back that far? It was the year of Jesus. Starting in the first messianic prophecy in the book of Genesis, we went all the way to Jesus dictating seven letters to his friends in the book of Revelation. Every sermon series pointed to Jesus. We were encouraged to adopt those words from Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus. There's no better advice I could ever give you at any point of your life than to fix your eyes on Jesus. But if you get right down to it, I bet you already know every year is the year of Jesus, right? Every year is the year of Jesus. They're all his years. He's the focal point of history. He's obviously the focal point of our church. And so every year is the year of Jesus. He should be the focal point of every sermon. In fact, if a sermon does not point to Jesus, I would say it's not a sermon. It's a lecture. It's a talk. It's a, you know, an inspirational devotion, maybe even. But Christian preaching points to Jesus. And it will always be that way from the pulpits of this church. Now this year, we're going to narrow that focus on Jesus to one aspect of having the presence and power of Jesus in our lives. In 2025, our focus will be on the hope that Jesus brings. So this year we're going to talk about hope, and we're going to talk about hope a lot. And I think that's a good thing. Dr. Charles Johnston was writing in Psychology Today. He wrote about the epidemic of hopelessness in our society today. He begins his article with this paragraph. I find the degree of cynicism that permeates our world today striking and troubling. As a psychiatrist who often works with young people, I find it particularly concerning. It is rare that a young person I work with expresses real hope about what lies ahead. I view making sense of what we see and responding effectively to be one of the most important mental health challenges of our time. And then he finishes that first paragraph with these, I call them haunting words. He says, I'm not in fact sure whether hope is warranted. I'm not in fact sure if hope is even warranted. Now that's heartbreaking. Our world needs hope. We all need hope. That dude needs help. Jesus is the source of that hope. Truly, he is the only source of real, genuine hope. At the very beginning of his first letter to his friend Timothy, Paul writes in his introductory sentence, you know, we sign our letters with our name. He starts his letters with his name. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. Jesus doesn't just give hope. Jesus is hope. So let's take a moment this morning and talk about the role of hope in the life of our church. Every sermon this year is going to be focused on hope. Hope for the lost, hope for the future, hope for families, hope in hard times, hope in worship, hope in relationships, more and more. Every aspect of our lives and how hope touches all of them and how hope touches every corner of this earth. I guess the question that could be asked, and we certainly ask ourselves this question on staff, our preaching staff, is why? Why is it so important to talk about hope so much? Yes, the world needs it. We get it. The world needs it. But do we need to talk about it that much? And I say yes. We can never talk about hope too much. Shakespeare writes, and As You Like It, can one desire too much of a good thing? Hope is a good thing. I don't think we can talk about it too much. Betsy and I, we love to try new eateries around town, and a friend gave us a good recommendation on a place over in Midlothian. We were over in Midlothian, and they said, you got to try this place. And so we went over on Friday, and we tried this place, and I never heard of it before, and now it's on my regular, you know, I need one here in Mechanicsville. And the place is called Cineholics. Think about that for just a second. You've heard of Cinnabon? This is Cineholics. And so there you go. Yes, I am now a Cineholic. Not S-I-N, by the way. C-I-N-N. Let's be very clear about that. Yeah, I probably should have made that clear in the other services. Ha! Anyway, C-I-N-N. Cineholics. And I am now a Cineholic. Yes, I could have eaten 20 of those cinnamon rolls, and it would not have been enough. You can't have too much of a good thing, right? Can you have too much hope? Can you talk too much about hope? I think the answer is nope, you can't. So we began 2025 talking about the foundation of hope. Now today, first Sunday of the year, we're going to step back, have a little family time today, a little family conference today, all right? We're going to do a little review about where we've been and where we are and where we're going, okay? That's important to do every once in a while. We're going to do that here today. Let's talk for a moment about our MVP. MVP. Now, MVP is a big talk right now because the NFL season wraps up, the regular season wraps up today. And so every broadcast talks about who is the MVP of the NFL this year. Is it Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow? And, you know, all kinds of arguing about that and all that good stuff. Who is the MVP? Well, the MVP of Fairmount is not a person. The MVP of Fairmount is our mission, our vision, and our priorities, MVP. It's always good to review. And I think the first Sunday of the year is a perfect time. And if you're visiting with us today, you're going to hear exactly what is important to our church, exactly what we believe, and exactly what we're striving for here at Fairmount. So it's a great Sunday to be here today. So let's start with M. Let's start with mission. Fairmount has a biblical mission. And I bet most people in this room, if you've been at Fairmount for any length of time, you already know what that mission is. It's love God, love people, make disciples. Six words. Really simple. Let's all say it together. You ready? Love God, love people, make disciples. I don't think that mission will ever change. The words might change from time to time because words do change and meanings do change sometimes, but I don't think they'll ever change significantly. That mission will never change because the mission comes directly from Jesus, who never changes. We determine that mission from two passages of Scripture that Jesus voices in the gospel. It happens to be they're both from the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 22, they're questioning Jesus, trying to trap Jesus. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" I bet everybody in this room, a lot of us in this room, could say this by heart. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment: love God. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God, love people." And then we come to the end of that gospel. And Jesus came to his apostles and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Love God, love people, make disciples. Make fully committed, fully devoted followers of Jesus. Not just fans of Jesus. "Oh, I love Jesus. Yay, he's so awesome and everything is going well. Yay, Jesus." No, we are followers who have given him our entire lives, disciples of Jesus Christ. So you pick whatever it is in our church: worship, Bible school, missions, seniors ministry, life groups, Bible studies, children's ministry, discipleship ministry, teen ministry, evangelism, outreach. Everything that we do falls into one of those three mandates: love God, love people, make disciples. Our mission will likely never change, but how we accomplish that mission, our vision, the V, does change from time to time. It changes depending on the demographics of the community. The demographics of our community change. The needs of our community change. The makeup of our church changes. It evolves over time. Cultural realities change. Have you ever heard of the pandemic? Cultural realities change. Fairmount's mission is accomplished through an inspiring vision, something that we rally around, something that pushes us toward accomplishing the great mission that Jesus has given us. Our mission accomplishing vision is that we offer real hope for real people. Everywhere you go, in this room, out of this room, the store, the restaurant, school, work, wherever you go, you are surrounded by real people with real problems, real issues, real needs, real weaknesses, real strengths. We are real people. There isn't a person on this planet who doesn't need real hope. Like air, like water, like food, hope gives life. Now, prior to that pandemic, you know, there's several events in every life that you kind of trace things back to, you know, 9/11, big, you know, the pandemic, all that stuff. Our world needed hope before the pandemic. It did. But it seems like 2020 ushered in a new era for our entire planet. There's now this polarization of politics. There's more conflicts going on around the globe. There's fear of future pandemics. There are unstable economies. There's the uncertainty of AI. The lack of hope is devastating. But we have it. We have a biblical mission. We have a motivating vision. And then we have five core values, five core priorities, the P, that undergird our mission and vision. The number one, it will always be our number one, and that is we submit to Scripture. Scripture is the foundation of everything we do, everything we teach, everything we preach. We go back to Scripture to see how to live, how to rule, how to organize our life, how to organize our church. Everything comes back to Scripture. We live like Jesus. We look to Him for how to think, how to act, how to talk, how to treat others. We look to Him as an example for a life of service. Jesus said, I came to serve, not be served. So we are here to serve. We live like Jesus. We worship in community. Worship is the foundational action that we do together as a church family. You worship every day. Every day should be an opportunity, whether it's in your Bible reading or music that you listen to or prayer time or whatever. You worship every day. But we come together as a body on Sundays. We come together as a family and we worship together. We engage every generation. You'll go out into the community, you'll find some churches that focus on one age demographic. Nothing wrong with that. But this church has chosen to engage every generation. We value every person, no matter how old they are. It sounds a little morbid, but our catchphrase is we minister to people from the cradle to the grave. Because that's what we do. We value all the folks that are in this community that we live in, and all generations are in this community in which this church is placed. And then we impact our world. We utilize our resources. Steve was up here a little while ago talking about your generosity. We use our time, our people, our money to help people right here in our community and people literally on the other side of the globe. This is our church. This is who we are. And I love it. I love it. And I'm honored to serve with each and every one of you as we follow the Lord's direction here at this place that we call Fairmount. Today, the simple encouragement from Scripture is, be filled with hope. I don't know that this is going to become the seminal passage like Fix Your Eyes on Jesus was last year, but I'm pretty enthused when I read what Paul has to say about hope at the end of his letter toward the end of his letter to the Romans. Listen to this, and I would even say this is a great one to, like, if you're looking for a good memory verse, this is a great one to highlight on your phone or your tablet or underline in your Bible, whatever you want to do. But this is a powerful passage, and I want to read it for you. Paul writes in Romans 15, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may overflow with hope. Hey, let's all say that passage together, all right? You can see it. Let's all say it together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. Beautiful. Let's take a couple minutes and talk about that hope this morning. Hope, true hope, is found only in a relationship with God. May the God of hope. It is in a relationship with Him that we place all of our fears and all of our worries and all of our aspirations and all of our goals. Now, as we often say when talking about this kind of hope, the hope of God, it is not wishful thinking hope. I literally think there's a dividing line in our church today of folks. There are half of our church family that would say, I hope we don't go to school all week. There's the other half of the church is, I hope my kids go back tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? There's that dividing line. We're all hoping against each other in this wishful thinking kind of hope. That is not biblical hope. Ours is a hope built on the promises that come from the ultimate promise keeper, the God of the universe. Every promise He has ever made, He has kept. That's the kind of being in which you place your hope. That's not wishful thinking. It's a fact. Paul says that hope springs from hearts filled with joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. This is the perfect segue from our Christmas series, The Light to the Nations, Jesus. As the angels came down and told the shepherds who Jesus was and described Him, remember that two of those things that they said Jesus would do is that He would bring joy and peace. Hearts filled with joy and peace are going to have hope. Hearts filled with doom and despair, hearts filled with criticism and negativity will not be hearts that will embrace hope. It's a heart thing. You let Jesus shine joy and peace into your heart, though they will, like a magnet, attract and hold on dearly to hope. It's a fact. It's a math equation. I'll test you this morning. See how you are on math equations. 2 + 2 = what? This side was really good. You people, I'm a little concerned about. David, do you not know? 2 + 2 = what? 4. Okay, all right, whatever. 2 + 2, and it will always be 4, won't it? It will always be 4. Peace and joy will always harbor hope in your heart. Paul says hope is fueled by the Holy Spirit. You may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus is your Lord, when God's Spirit comes to make his home within you, you have at your disposal a remarkable power. One aspect of that power is your ability to maintain hope in the midst of hopelessness, the ability to maintain hope in the midst of discouragement, in the midst of opposition, hard times, bad times, illnesses, whatever. I can't manufacture that hope on my own, but the Holy Spirit living within me can. And not only can, but does. And not only does, but will. If you're a follower of Jesus and find yourself struggling with hope, ask the Holy Spirit to help you rediscover it, to help you fan it into flame. It made me think about our 3-year-old granddaughter, Roxanne. You know, she can ask me to do just about anything, and I'll do it. Now, 3 years old, she can't get too extravagant quite yet. At this age, she can ask me just about anything, and I'll do it. Pop, would you read me a book? Absolutely. Let's read as many books as you want to read. Pop, will you watch me swing? Sure, let's go outside. We'll swing. It's snowing. Who cares? It's all good. Pop, would you put batteries in this toy for you? Yeah, of course. Give me the toy. Where are the batteries? You know, all that. Pop, would you get down and play with me on the floor? Yes, it'll be 3 hours before I can get back up again. But yes, I'll do that. Pop, would you jump off the roof? Yep, let me go find a ladder. I mean, just about anything that she would ask, I would do it because I love her and I want her to have joy. The Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit wants you to have joy and peace and hope. The Holy Spirit is eager to bless you. The Holy Spirit is eager to fan hope into flame. And finally, Paul shares that hope overflows from his people. You may overflow with hope. That's the ultimate goal for God's people. It's the ultimate goal of any follower of Christ. It should be the ultimate goal of every church, that we overflow with hope. Now, sometimes overflow is not a good thing. Your washing machine overflows. Everybody in the house knows you walk in the door. Oh, no, the washing machine overflows. It's a bad thing. Your waiter overflows your coffee cup at the table. Coffee goes everywhere. That's not a good thing, right? Those are negatives. But what about the good stuff? You ever been over to your grandma's house and she's got all your favorite desserts, all your favorite snack foods? The house is overflowing with all the stuff that you love. Oh, that's a good thing, right? Overflowing with hope is a good thing. Because as we overflow with hope, more people will find it. I don't know who coined the phrase, but I heard it many, many times over the course of the last year. In fact, we use it around the church office quite a bit. And I think there's some good folksy truth to it. You know, just like cliches and folksy truths, there's always, you know, a little bit that may not be true. But I think for the most part, it's pretty true. But have you ever heard the phrase, your vibe attracts your tribe? Have you ever heard that before? Your vibe attracts your tribe. How you live each day, the attitude that you exude every day, the attitude that you carry around with you is going to attract similar people. You're a positive person, you're going to attract positive people. You're a negative person, you're going to attract negative. You see what I'm saying? Your vibe attracts your tribe. But I do believe there is a Christian corollary to that folksy truth. And it's even truer. It's better. It's just not, doesn't rhyme. Your vibe attracts people to Jesus, or at least it should. Your vibe attracts people to love. Your vibe attracts people to forgiveness. Your vibe attracts people to grace. Your vibe attracts people to hope. Your vibe attracts people to an overflowing abundance of good things that this world so desperately needs. It's my prayer, and I will come down on the floor and pray this prayer with you in just a moment. It's my prayer that all of us are inspired this year to make it our goal. I'm not a resolution guy. I'm not a, you know, goals are good, you know, whatever, resolutions, whatever. It's my prayer that all of us are inspired this year to make it our goal to every day overflow with hope. Real hope for real people. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, you have given us Jesus. You've given us forgiveness. You've given us release from the fear of death. You've given us eternal life. Lord, there's so much you have given us. And that makes us hopeful people, or it should make us hopeful people. And this world, Father, is so desperate for the comfort, the warmth, the confidence that there is in hope. But Father, it has to be seen in your people. And so, Father, I just ask today that you help the followers of Jesus in this room, that you help us to overflow with hope. That people will indeed see that hope in us, and that it will attract them to the hope we have, the hope that is Jesus. And those, Lord, who are outside of Jesus or in this room today, I pray they give their life to Jesus so that they can have real, enduring, eternal hope. So, Father, we pray that today, that it won't just be a thing that when we're on good days, we'll be hopeful. On exciting days, when everything's going right, we'll be hopeful. But every day, Lord, no matter what life throws at us, we will be people of hope. Thank you for this wonderful gift that Jesus gives us. In his name we pray. Amen. Today, as we finish our service, we always finish with a song of worship. It's always an opportunity for each and every one of us to just commit ourselves to what we've heard from God's Word today. And God's Word today says that every one of us should overflow with hope. How will you? What change do you need to make? What do you need to do differently in the course of your day? What attitude do you need to adopt? What action do you need to stop doing? Whatever. So that people will see the hope of Jesus Christ in you. Commit to that today. And if you need to make a decision for Christ, I will be right up here at the front. Would love to talk with you about that while we're singing, after the service is over, tomorrow afternoon in the snowstorm. I will talk to you anytime about whatever decision you need to make for Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Let's worship.